Hi, everybody. Today's passage is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Once again, this is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. All right, so as is the case for a lot of Paul's writings, this passage can seem a little bit confusing at first. I think one reason for that could just simply be because Paul likes to write in long, run-on sentences. Sentences that your high school English teacher probably would not approve of. But one other reason for that could be because it's just heady theological stuff. And so if you're confused, I think that's okay. Even the Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter 3 that some of Paul's teachings and writings are hard to understand. Now, the good thing, though, is that I think we can break up this passage into a few chunks. So let me do that, and hopefully this will make things a little bit clearer. The first chunk is in verses 1 through 3, and you can sort of think of this as Paul addressing the past, specifically our past. He starts by saying, you were dead in the trespasses and sins. I won't read the whole thing again, but basically we were once sinners, following our sinful passions and the ways of the world. We were once children of wrath, and again, I think the key word here is that we were once dead. This used to be our old lives, our old identity. We were once dead in our sins. But then we get to verses 4 through 7, and these verses are a pivot point, in a sense, from what we just read, a turning point in this narrative. In verse 4, it says, but God made us alive. Now, that's a very incomplete summary, but I just want to start by making that distinction. Again, that first chunk in verses 1 through 3, we're talking about how we were once dead in our sin. But verse 4, it says, but even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive with Christ. Out of his great and rich mercy, because of the great love that he has for us, he raised us up with Christ. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too were raised and now have life with him. And not only have we been raised from the dead, which, I mean, that in and of itself is a profound, amazing thing to think about, but not only were we raised, as it says in verse 6, we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ. If you're not sure what that means, this is similar to language Paul uses in Romans 8. In Romans 8, he talks about our identity as children of God, something we actually have talked about this week so far. We are children of God, and therefore we are heirs and fellow heirs or co-heirs with Christ. This speaks of how we are, in a sense, going to be rulers, co-rulers with Jesus. This label as heirs, again, comes from the fact that we are children of God and therefore have this right to sit in the heavenly places as described here. So to summarize what we've read so far, and admittedly this was a very quick summary, we were once dead in our sin, but we have been raised with Christ and now have new life. But one thing I haven't pointed out yet that needs to be made very clear comes in the next couple verses, that none of this is the result of our own works, but solely through the work, the grace of God. Paul alludes to this in verse 7 when he says that the immeasurable riches of his grace will be shown through the life we have received. Well, Paul elaborates on that more and makes it more definitive in verse 8 when he says straight up, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. The life we have received as children of God and co-heirs with Christ is not because of anything you did or didn't do. It's not because of how good you were. It was by grace, through faith. It is a free gift that has been given to us, and all it takes is for us to receive this free gift. I want for us to sit on this idea for a little while. This life that we have received, that each of us has received, is not something we have attained on our own, but it is something that has been given to us by God's grace. Maybe what can help to put this into context is to think about a nice gift, a really nice gift that you may have received. Have you ever received a gift that was just really nice? No, not necessarily because it was expensive, but maybe very meaningful to you. Have you ever received that kind of gift? As you think about this gift, I'd like for you to think about another question. How did you feel when you received this gift? How did you respond to that? You know, for me, as I was thinking about some of the amazing gifts I received throughout my life, I really felt the sort of humility that Paul alludes to here. As I think about gifts like my first electric guitar, for example, or my first car, or even just other things, things that aren't quite as, there's not a price tag to it, but things like meals that people dropped off for me when I was sick or injured. You know, when I think about these gifts, I remember feeling immense gratitude on one hand, and on the other hand, just this feeling of, man, like, I definitely do not have any reason to boast. I didn't deserve this in the sense that I didn't, you know, work towards it or pay for it on my own in any way. There was no way that I could reasonably boast about myself having received these gifts. Because the reality is that I wouldn't have any of those things if not for those who have given it to me. You know, I suppose I could have eventually raised money or to do this, or, you know, saved up money to buy it, or to, I don't know, prepare the food on my own. But at least these gifts, in those moments that I had received it, I wouldn't have it if not for those who had given it to me out of their own love or kindness or their care for me. Well, it's a similar thing with our salvation, except, of course, on a much grander scale. It's not from our works, but it's solely by the grace of God and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, of course, we could end there, but I love how Paul ends this section with verse 10, because it's sort of like a response or an application to everything we've read so far. Paul writes that we are his workmanship, as in God's workmanship. Another simpler way to look at it is that we are God's creation. And as part of his creation, we were made for the good works that God has created us to do and live by. Again, we've gone from death to life by the grace of God, and we are called to do the good works that he has created us to do. To be very clear, this isn't something we're doing because we feel like we owe God. We're not trying to somehow make up for the gift that we have received. We're not trying to pay it back out of a debt we feel that we now owe to God. Rather, it's a means of living out the identity that we now have as a result of the gift of grace that we have received. We've been given this new life, and so now we're living it. Today, I want to encourage us to reflect on this amazing gift we have received. A gift that we couldn't have earned or made our own way towards. I hope and pray that as you've been fasting and feasting this Lent season, you've already been digesting this amazing truth, and I hope that you'll continue to do so. And as you reflect on this gift, let's consider how we can, how we should live out the good works we have literally been created for. Keep in mind, these good works aren't just about doing quote-unquote good things, as some people might consider it in this world. Not that those things are wrong by any means, but ultimately the good works we're called to do are the works that God has called us to do. It's about living out our lives as God's workmanship. You know, we were created to live a certain way, and so as God's workmanship, we want to do all the things that fit in within that, which are things that lead to God's glory and his kingdom. So I think some things that can apply to us on the day-to-day, but especially in this season of Lent, is to consider how we can share the good news with others. And of course, ultimately, both in actions and words, point people to Jesus. So in your own life, let's take the time, let's intentionally consider what it looks like to be a part of God's good works as we live out his calling upon our lives as God's workmanship. So with that, let me pray for us to close. Lord God, I thank you for this time today, and thank you for this passage for us to chew on and meditate on. Lord, we thank you for the grace that we have received, that we have gone from death to life. Lord, thank you for the reminder also that this was not because of our own works, out of our own righteousness or our own efforts, but it is from you, Lord, solely by your grace. It is a free gift that we have received. And thank you, because if we were just to try to earn it in some way, if we were convinced that we earned this, that we deserve this, then I think we would just end up toiling, spinning our wheels, if you will, in this life that we're living. But no, Lord, this is a free gift you've given to us. And as those who have been given this life, who are considered your workmanship, we're called to do good works. And so, Lord, give us wisdom to know what that looks like in our day-to-day, Lord. We know that these are things that point people to you, that give you glory. But Lord, oftentimes we get confused about knowing what this can look like. But Lord, show us, give us the wisdom, give us the insight, give us a better understanding of what it means to be your workmanship so that we can really live this out. But Lord, once again, thank you. Thank you for the gift of grace that we have received. We love you, God. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.